Hello again. This is DC Muzan with Faith, Love, and Truth Publications with episode 2 of our series on salvation. History and background. We're giving a little background as to why we need salvation. Now, the Old Testament reveals to us the depraved condition of man without being spiritually connected and joined to God. And it also lets us know how God feels about this and how he feels about sin. God has not changed his mind. He still feels the same way with the same punishments in mind. But because of the New Testament and what Jesus did for us, he is extending mercy because of his great love for us. And he would not have any of the wicked or any people die in their sins. He wants everyone to acknowledge and repent of their sins and receive his salvation. So in returning to the background issues regarding salvation, I'm going to begin with the definition of the gospel of salvation. The gospel of salvation is the good news. Gospel means good news. The good news of the salvation of man as made possible by God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news is that man can be redeemed of his sins and sinful state. Man can be reconciled back to God and into right spiritual standing with God. Man can be healed of his sins, his sinful state, and the conditions that sin causes, such as sickness, disease, mental and physical illnesses, and so forth. Man is no longer destined to go to hell and be a prisoner of the devil. Now, before the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, all men, good or bad, righteous or wicked, were destined to go to hell and be a prisoner of the devil. The righteous and good went to a place called paradise, also referred to as Abraham's bosom, and the bad wicked went to another place referred to as Sheol or Hades. I may not be pronouncing that correctly. Nonetheless, all were prisoners in hell because of the law of the Old Testament. This is also why the devil disputed with the archangel Michael about the body of Moses when Moses died. And God had the archangel Michael, I think he hid his body somewhere where nobody knows where it is. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, he went to hell to preach the gospel to the prisoners, to conquer death and hell, and to free the captive souls and take them to heaven. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That is mentioned in 1 Peter 3:18-20, and Ephesians 4:8-10, and Psalm 68:18-20. Now, while on earth, Jesus fulfilled the scriptures regarding God sending a redeemer of mankind, which began in Genesis with the fall of Adam and Eve. He fulfilled the scriptures that told of who he is, how he would be betrayed, how he would suffer and be killed, and how he would rise again, resurrect with his body not suffering corruption, also known as decomposition. Now, this is mentioned in the book of Psalms and in the book of the prophets. And Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees, search the scriptures because they testify of me. Jesus taught the people the word of God while he was here. He taught the people the word of God. He unfolded and revealed the true meaning of the Old Testament scriptures. He showed the people God's mercy and love and confirmed the word and gospel by healing the people of all manner of disease, sickness, physical and mental abnormalities and conditions, by casting out devils, ungodly spirits, and by performing other miracles that proved to all that he was the Son of God, God the Father's representative who was sent into the world to manifest him and to provide salvation and redemption to all mankind, beginning with the Jews and then everyone else referred to as the Gentiles. Many of the works that Jesus performed had also never been performed among men before or to such a magnitude. Now, I would like to add right here that nowadays we treat deliverance like it is some separate ministry Deliverance is part of the gospel. It is part of the gospel program because the works of deliverance, the casting out devils, the healings, the people ridding themselves of their false confession, this is all part of the gospel program. This is not some separate ministry aside from the church and aside from the gospel, and it is not some exorcism or whatever. It is just by faith and trust in Jesus and the power of God. And the reason why a lot of people are not delivered today is because they don't have faith, number one. Number two, they are looking for a specific person with a specific title, or they're looking for a familiar friend. So a devil with a title, oh, they will have him come pray for them. But someone who may be sitting at the feet of Jesus every day, they may be talking with Jesus face to face, because they are unknown, they don't have any faith in that. So they are inhibiting their own deliverance. They're stopping their own deliverance because they're looking for things, they're looking for the wrong things. And nowadays, people will submit to a devil who is well known or who has titles, rather than someone who demonstrates in character, word, and deed that the Lord is in them and that they are following the word of God. Jesus asked the disciples, he asked them, he said, who do people say I am? And finally, Peter said, well, you know that you are the Son of God and the Redeemer. And so he said, well, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. But he told the disciples, don't tell anybody anything until after I am resurrected, after I'm glorified, after I'm dead and resurrected. Because for one thing, his words, his character, and his work spoke for itself. And that is the same today. When you run into someone and their word is true, their character is righteous and godly, like the Bible says in the book of 1 John, he who does righteousness is righteous even as he is righteous. He who does not righteousness does not know God. So anybody who claims to be whatever, by whatever title, and they don't do what's right, or they never do what's right, that is not somebody who is of God. And that's why the Lord has entrusted this particular mission to us, because we will tell the truth and we are not afraid of, and we don't whitewash the word. So moving along, everyone, including the religious leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the lawyers, etc., knew that Jesus was of God. They even said so among themselves. And as mentioned in John chapter 3 and verse 2, 9, 32 to 33, and chapter 11, verse 47. So they knew who he was, but because of their envy, like it says in 1 John, that we are to love one another, not as Cain, who slew his brother. And why did he slew that? Why did he kill him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's works were righteous. And we have that murderous spirit of Cain in the church today, which is a spirit of envy, which breeds envy, breeds hatred, which breeds murder and some type of destruction. We also have the spirit of Jezebel, which is, like Jesus said, call herself a prophet. That's the spirit of the wannabe. That is any person who is masquerading in a gift who has not been called by the Lord to walk in that gift. And you can usually tell by their rotten, horrible character and the things that they do and say. But anyway, let's go back to our lesson here. Because that really gets me upset. People that are masquerading, they're keeping the people of God from doing what God called them to do because they want to be seen and they want these gifts, but they're not willing to go through what they have to go through, the persecution or the suffering or the sacrifice or submitting themselves to the word and to the Lord in order to truly walk in these gifts. The fall of man. Okay, man was originally created perfect. And when Adam was created, he was in perfect spiritual union and relationship and fellowship with God. Adam is referred to as a son of God. And as the scriptures say, man was created just a little lower than the angels, who are referred to as spiritual sons of God. This is mentioned in Luke chapter 3 and verse 38, Psalm chapter 8 and verse 4 to 5. However, beginning with the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, through the evil influence and temptation of the devil, man became spiritually separated from God. So this is the death, the main death that God was talking about. To be cut off from God is to be spiritually dead. If you do not have God in your life, or the absence of God. I heard somebody define what is evil, and they say evil is the absence of God. So they had the absence of God that occurred in their lives, and they became spiritually separated from God within their heart and inner self, because God can have no union or fellowship with sin. He became spiritually dead, whereas communion and fellowship with God were concerned. He eventually became of a low, base, and sinful state. He became a slave to the flesh, evil, wickedness, and depravity, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And that is mentioned in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Man disobeyed and rebelled against God and committed various forms of idolatry, referred to in the scriptures as spiritual adultery against God. Although through the years God performed significant manifestations of his love toward man, his identity, and his power on man's behalf, man continued to be carnal, rebellious, disobedient, unfaithful, and unthankful toward God through the evil influence of the devil. The devil and all evil illegally entered into the world through the devil's temptation of man, and by him usurping rightful God-established authority. Therefore, he gained access to man to continue to influence and tempt him. He eventually gained control of man and the world. He caused man to become submitted to him, and he caused man to become evil in heart, soul, thought, character, word, and deed. Now, through words and deeds that produce evil, wickedness, sin, and overall unrighteousness, these all originate in the heart, the inner man, the heart of the inner man, our soul. There are errors and crimes of the heart, soul, and character, and they include the following. All that is morally wrong, bad, and harmful in every area toward God and toward other human beings. All thoughts, words, desires, lusts, and deeds that are contrary to the word of God and that cause harm, hurt, trouble, distress, confusion to anyone in any situation. All thoughts, purposes, and deeds that are performed for selfish, self-serving purposes, reasons, especially that have negative, harmful, and overall adverse effects upon others. All thoughts, intents, behavior, conduct, words, and deeds that are contrary to the word and will of God. So after the fall, man's attitude and worship of God became loveless, insincere, unfaithful, superficial, hypocritical, and false. God continually attempted to draw and connect with man and manifest himself to man by speaking to man and performing many miracles and deliverances on man's behalf, but man refused to turn his heart toward God. Man was seeking only gratification of his soul and flesh in the natural worldly realm, and he was not sincerely seeking the one and only true spiritual God. God wanted man and his people to choose to submit their wills to him, to choose to love him, and to choose to obey and serve him. Man had originally obeyed God until he was faced with temptation and the presence and possibility of an alternate choice by the devil in the Garden of Eden. Now, see, this is God wants people that are willing to serve him, but in the absence of God. The Old Testament shows us that you cannot just obey rules. You cannot just obey God. And the people that did obey God, like David and the prophets, they had God put the Spirit in them. They had the Spirit of God in them. And some of them were still, like David was still subject to error, but his heart was with God. When he was shown the error of his ways, he was willing to acknowledge and repent of his sins. So we have to have the Spirit of the Lord within us, which comes through receiving that word in us, to be able to serve God. And when you see people that cannot ever acknowledge or repent of their sins, they try to throw it off on somebody else. Oh no, that's you. Everything is your fault. Nothing is my fault. There's something wrong with that. That is somebody who does not have the Spirit of the Lord in them. I don't care who they claim to be or what they claim to do or what they claim to know or whatever, because there are people who have the word in their head, in their mind, but it's not in their heart. And all through the Bible, if you look at pure of heart, or if you search in your concordance for heart, the Lord is not looking for somebody who's necessarily perfect, but he's looking for somebody who is pure of heart, sincerity of heart. You desire, you really desire the Lord in your heart, and he can work with you. No matter how bad you are or what have you done or whatever, because the only unforgivable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And usually that is somebody who knows, who's willing and knows what they are doing. But you could be the biggest sinner ever. You could have created all kinds of sins and whatever. But if you come to the Lord and you're willing to acknowledge and confess your sins and ask for forgiveness, he will give you, he will save your soul. And that's the most important thing that any of us can ever do. Moving along. The Old Testament scriptures indicate how man continued to submit to the temptation, influence, and will of the devil, with man being separated from the Lord and his Holy Spirit. By reading the scriptures and observing what was meant to be the people of God, we can clearly witness the introduction and continuance of overall ungodly, unrighteous, and evil character, which includes the following: lack of acknowledgement, reverence, respect, and the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is not just being afraid of the Lord. It's reverencing him as God. He is God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and all that is within, including us. And he could zap us in an instant. God is always going to be God, no matter what he does or doesn't do for us, no matter what he does or doesn't do. But he has demonstrated his great love for us in sacrificing his only begotten son that we might receive salvation and live eternally with him. He wants a family. God wants a family that he inhabits with his word and his Holy Spirit that chooses to serve and love him. A family. What is a family? God wants a family, but people that are willing to serve him. That's what this life is all about. This life is all about us learning of the Lord, getting his word, being transformed as much as possible into the image of Christ, and choosing to be the family of the Lord God. None of us want somebody that doesn't want to be with us, or somebody that's pretending to be with us. Nobody wants to marry somebody that married you for money or convenience or sex or whatever. You want somebody that chooses, they want to spend the rest of their life with you. They want to be with you, you know? And so we were made in God's image. So what makes us think that God wants to submit, wants to accept foolishness? He already knows everything that's in each of our hearts. So we can't fool him. Like the world says, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all of the time. But you can't fool God any of the time. And the ones that God has chosen, you can't fool them either. They may not say anything to you. They may pretend that they don't know who you are. But if it's somebody that's called by God to serve him and to do something for him, but to be part of his family, believe me, he lets them know exactly who is true and exactly who is false, who their false friends are, who envies them. He lets them know everything about them for their own protection. So anyway, lack of acknowledgement, reverence, respect, and fear of God. God is God regardless. So we need to reverence him as God, whether he does anything for us or not. But the word explains how he loves us and what he said he will do for us. Lack of genuine love toward God and man, rebellion, disobedience, and disrespect for God, others, and for rightful God-ordained authority, office, and position. A lot of ministers, people think that they have a God complex, and they think that they're the end all and be all of the church, and they are not. God has specific people that he has ordained to do things. He has specific prophets that he ordained to know the word, to preach righteousness, to uncover evil and wickedness in the house. to tear down, to pull down, to destroy, to build, to plant, like he told Jeremiah and like he told Ezekiel. Be not afraid of them, but you shall speak whatever I tell you to speak to them. And they are preachers and teachers of righteousness. They are preachers and teachers of the word and righteousness. Apostles are people that are Christ-like, first and foremost. He called them to be with him. And then that he might send them forth to preach and teach his word, to heal the sick and to cast out devils. So there are other people within the body. When Jesus came down here, he got help. He didn't say, okay, I'm the Son of God and I'm just going to rule everything and whatever. He taught people and included them and received them and taught and trained them. And he established his church, the house of God. We are, all the ministry gifts are for the church. They are for the house. They are not for you to operate on your own and, oh, I'm some great ministry gift. No, they are all for the house. They go in the house. The ministries are part of the church and part of the house. Lack of genuine love toward God and man. Rebellion. I think we read this already. Disobedience and disrespect. God, oh yeah. Unfaithfulness toward God and man. Idolatry, lust, greed, covetousness, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, spiritual against God and natural against man. Anarchy, mutiny, treachery, betrayal, perversion of the laws of God and man, corrupt politics, lying, cheating, stealing, envy, hatred, murder over power, position, envy, glory, fortune, envy, hatred, murder, and overall destruction of others, especially the innocent, righteous, God's chosen, and God's messengers. All manner of evil, wickedness, and unrighteousness in heart, character, and behavior, word and deed, toward God and man. But we are going to stop right here. And when we start episode 3, it's going to begin with how God sent his messengers and how he sent Moses. And he sent deliverers and people to manifest all through the Bible. And the last person that he could possibly send is Jesus. And that's why there is no other religion after Christianity. Judaism transformed into Christianity is basically all one religion. True Christians are Jews, because as the Bible says, we've been grafted in. And true Jews, let's say, are Christians, because they have accepted Jesus Christ. And the Jews have not accepted Jesus. But anyway, it's all one religion, and there's no religions after that. And that's why blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, because after Jesus' death and resurrection and his glorification, he sent the Holy Ghost, which is his spirit. We can receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost, where we could not receive in the Old Testament the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. The only person that could receive the Spirit of God without measure is Jesus, because he was the Son of God. But we can receive the fullness of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost of Jesus. And that is the only ghost. There is no Casper or anybody else. That is the only ghost, the Holy Ghost. So with that, we end episode 2. And you can be looking forward for episode 3. And I think that we said we would do these once a month, but we may start doing them once every 2 weeks. So God bless you all. And I just pray that all those that God has called, that they will receive his word into their hearts to manifest and be effective witnesses unto him in this earth and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.